Hello, everyone, and welcome to Circle Radio, part of the Sanctuaries of the Earth Mother. And this is the Women's Healing Hour. And I'm really excited to be here and hope some of you can join us today. Sandra Trainer-Meyer will be with us, and Rhonda Davis also from Independence, Iowa. And we're going to be talking a little bit about did we really let go and heal? And there's been a lot of things coming up for people lately, and I'll include myself on that one, that is really playing havoc with our psyche, I guess you could say, our lives in general. And there is so much that can happen during that time when things kind of creep in there that you thought you may have healed or may have let go of before, only to find that they are back. And when that happens, it's really, in a way, it's disturbing, and it really can cause yourself to really stop and think about, okay, I thought I released all this, and I guess I haven't. So I'm not sure if Sandra and Rhonda are with us yet. So I'm going to just start off with a song that I wrote back in 2013. And it's called Just Be Who You Are. The butterflies, birds, and bees, the rocks, the plants, and trees have a message of their own, never asking to be shown how to be who they are, how to be who they are. The animals who roam this earth know their place right from their birth, never asking to be shown what they've known since they were born, how to be who they are. All that you do is a blessing just for you. Being guided on your path, always forward, never back. Being shown who you are, being shown who you are. The message that's here for you is to honor before we get started. Sandra and Rhonda, are you with me?
Yep, we're here.
Okay, awesome. Hello, how are you two?
We're good.
Good. What's the weather like there?
Sunny, probably about 60, beautiful day.
Perfect fall weather. It's really nice here too today. It's cooler, and it's definitely a nice fall day. The mornings have been chilly. It's been around 35 in the mornings here where we live, but that's okay. It's a time of year. So we're gonna kind of kick this off. Just by talking a little bit about, you know, what goes on and why these things kind of creep back into our lives when we think we've healed them. And, you know, there's no particular one thing that can stand out. I mean, even for myself, you know, when I thought I had taken care of pretty much everything that my mother had blessed me with over the years. And, you know, it doesn't take much. And it really, it came to me the other day during a Reiki share. It just really affected a lot. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right, this came back. So I guess I hadn't really healed what I needed to. But there's all these other connections to it. So it all comes together. And I don't know, Sandra or Rhonda, can you kind of say anything about that, or what you think?
This is Rhonda. And
hello.
I think that sometimes when we think that we have really released something, there'll be another part of it that we didn't really connect to that situation that can come up, and you go, oh, that really was connected, and now I have to work on that part.
Yeah,
and
I
cast a stick back to you.
Okay, no, that makes sense, because everything is interwoven, and, you know, so aren't we, too. I mean, we're connected at everything, so if there's a part or a piece that of a circumstance that wasn't healed properly, then it can come back to bite you. Sandra, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think this hits many areas. One thing is that I've been working through, because everybody knows, well, just about everybody, I lost my husband in July. And I really suffered through that, but I had been married before. I've been a very lucky person. I had two fantastic men in my life. And the first one died of a massive heart attack. It was gone in seconds. And I blamed him for Leon's death. Why, you ask me? It's because I said, if you wouldn't have died, I wouldn't have had to suffer this way. And I had to go back here and forgive Craig, because I wouldn't have missed the opportunity of knowing Leon. But I forgot to forgive him, and that shows that it does come up again.
Huh. Wow, that's really heavy stuff. And I know things have been coming up, and I know Jim had posted the other day. I might be bringing him in too with this, about the dark time of the soul. And you know, he more or less stated in this Facebook post that he made, he goes, "For those in this place now, stay with it. The universe never gives you more than you can take. For those who have been through long, hard versions, send compassion. The further you walk down the spiritual road, the more spiritual your mission, the deeper, more painful, and longer your dark time usually is. Why? What, me? Why now? Release these. It's simple. It simply is so. Others have other tasks and so go through something similar in the physical, mental, or other realms solely. A reason for all and a task within the circle of rebirth for each." And this was posted by Jim and Sharon Rainbow Eagle. "The dark time of the soul happens for those on a spiritual road before they can finally step out into the light with full understanding." And, you know, I was reading a little, Jim had actually copied, and this is from Eckhart Tolle. Different interesting things about the Dark Night. And part of it, the Dark Night usually develops this way. He goes, that you as a genuine seeker have gone through many significant phases as you progress toward higher consciousness. Your faith is strong. You have kept loyal companionship with fellow seekers, and perhaps you have already found a special teacher. You've experienced indications of the reality of higher consciousness and yearn to be more deeply in communion with it. You see the principles of a higher power at work in your life. Yet, all in all, you find yourself somehow painfully on the outside. You feel caught between your old way of living, your old tendencies and associations, nebulous, unreachable realm of higher consciousness. You feel an exile in both places. You don't belong in the old pastimes. And there's quite a bit to this, and I don't know if Jim has posted this. He may have. Quite worth a read because there's so much into it. And it's just, it's really all part of the spiritual growth that we all, you know, are working so hard for. And some of us are deeper in it than others. And I think the deeper you are and the more connected and the more willing you are and wanting to be more of a spiritual connected person, I would truly believe all these little things that come back to haunt you are to help make you stronger. What do you guys feel about that?
This is Rhonda. I was just thinking, sometimes when we're going through the process of releasing things that we need to release, we can get kind of whiny and kind of feeling like we don't know why, you know, we had to go through whatever it is. But I think it helps if you remember that while other people may be players in your experience, we did choose our experience. And if we went through it and if we're going through it, we were supposed to. And that helps a lot because then you get out of the whole, oh, why me thing, you know?
Why me? Why me? Sandra, do you have anything?
I agree with Rhonda, but I do also think that even the smallest thing some people overlook, we need to heal it all and just let it go. It's time to let things go because they're not of any use to you anymore. And healing is one way, like I did. I let it go. Move on.
Yeah. And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of going back and digging. And I know many of us, too, don't, at least I'll speak for myself, I don't remember much of my growing up years. So there was a lot there that I just hid from or tried to hide from. So, you know, as I was growing up through the years, different things happened to me that I realized later on when I started the spiritual road connecting to nature and to, you know, my native spirituality that I am so connected to. I realized how important each one of those episodes, I'll call them, that were not pleasant at the time, really were quite important and valuable and for me to start waking up and realizing what was happening was needed to happen for me to come to a place where I could understand it better. So each circumstance that you know, I was slow at learning what I needed to learn, eventually helped me. But then there's those little things, like we talked about earlier, that a simple little thing, like somebody saying something derogatory to you many, many years ago, how it can come back and just really affect every part of your life. I wanted to just say that Running Elk, hello, glad you're with us. There's 8 there, and he says some more may come. And Odie, hi Dale, is here, and you weren't late, not at all. And Running Elk says, there are many in the darkest time of their life now. The medicine people here are working with many. We call this the dark time of the soul. The elders say much of this is last pieces not yet out of them. And boy, ain't that the truth, because it hit me like a huge boulder against the head the other day. And it's really something I need to work through. And I, you know, I'm questioning myself. You know, am I perceiving things around me that's as different because of this statement? And you know, I mean, it can go on and on. So the dark time of the soul seems to really be a big part of this. And I thought, if you ladies don't mind, I would bring in the wolf, Jim, if he doesn't mind, and so he can share a little bit about, you know, his thoughts, because he's actually experienced this, and you know, and he can share a little bit about his experience. Jim, are you with me?
Yeah, I can be, I suppose.
Good. I warned him earlier. Anyway.
I'll just be one of the ladies again for a little bit here.
Raise your voice a little bit, okay?
I can't say. My allergies are bad, so that ain't going to happen.
Oh, okay. All right. So what can you share with...
Well, you know, I don't really... I mean, I could share mine, but I don't... maybe I will later if it's needed. But more to the point, we posted that thing on Dark Time of the Soul the other day, and I happened to notice earlier this morning when I looked that it's been shared around over 300 times. I don't remember the last time anything was shared that much. And yet I wasn't surprised, because so many are walking through a dark time of the soul. For some, it's the first time. For others, I think it's what this show is about and what Sue is talking about, and Rhonda and Sandra. It's some things that have not been totally cleared. And boy, I'm seeing that from a lot of people. Things they thought they cleared, they've already gone through a lot. Some people very close to us are going through this right now. And yet it's coming back again. And I think we're all hitting some level of it. I know for me, the dark time of the soul lasted 4 years and started now about 11 years ago. So for the first year, I was pretty much a vegetable. And then for several years after that, not a heck of a lot better. Some people get it that way. Some people get it for a year or two, some people for a month or two, some people for a week. Others, I've heard them, you know, just a day or two. And I don't think there's any way to plan it out. I think partly it's where you're at on the spiritual road. How much have you done? How much are you meant to do in the spiritual realm? Because dark time of the soul is directly connected to your spiritual walk. It's not about the physical, it's not about the mental, although they're both affected, or can be. But it is about your spiritual walk. And one of the things to remember is none of us ever gets more than we can bear. So even if we feel like we can't take it, we can. As I was pulling the show up, I was on Facebook to send some messages to Sandra and Rhonda. because I'm playing techie today with Sharon not here, and it's not my greatest skill. But there was a woman on from who messaged me who I don't know. She is on my friends list, but all of us, I probably don't know 80% of the people personally who are on my friends list. And she had read that, and she's posted it up on her page, and she's been going through her hell of darkness over there in Europe. And the words just spoke to her. And, you know, it's not necessarily our words that were posted there, but it is the messages they send. And anybody could have put that up. And I'm sure others are. So I think with that dark time of the soul, it's just to, however it happens, you have to let it happen. If you try to fight it, if you try to force it happening fast, you're not going to be successful. I know when we did a sweat lodge last night, and as I poured the water, this was coming to me quite a bit too. Again, you know, let this dark time just come and go through. As much as it hurts, as painful as it is, just remember we can all feel pain because we're humans. But the suffering part of this, that we call it upon ourselves. And I'm seeing people out there who are calling in suffering. And while I feel really bad about that, that has to be their choice, and they have to realize, ooh, I don't have to suffer. I can feel the pain, even if you feel like, man, it's the end of the world. And there's a lot of other things that I've kept from the past, from when I went through this, and maybe we'll post more of it later. Some of it was some of the words of Eckhart Tolle that Sue read. But there's some really good things written on this, because those who have really walked a deep, dark, long, dark time of the soul understand it at a level that very few do. And that's a good thing, believe me. But for those going through it, the best you can do is give compassion, give energy, and try to help them see that they will, in fact, at some point this will end, but not setting a timeline. That timelines are the destroyers of good intentions. So I got for now.
I have a question, Sue. Can I ask Jim a question?
Sure.
This is Sandra. Do you feel that we should be more cautious with who we pick to be around? That sometimes it agitates more of the problem we are having?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard one. Wow. I used to work a whole lot on these kinds of issues with people. I don't as much anymore. There is that element of too much, too deep. If you try to work with someone and they just keep pulling from you, I think Rhonda wrote something about this the other night, they keep draining you. If they go into that energy vampire mode, after a couple tries, you really need to move away. And that's not because you don't care, that's not because you don't feel compassion, but you don't need to be drained. I mean, you can't do anything if you get that drained. And again, I know because I've been there. I used to do that. So there's some now that over the last few years, I mean, I've really walked away from, and Sue and I have really walked away from, just because they just kept draining, they just kept getting angry, and they did not want any kind of input. If somebody doesn't want something, don't try to give it to them. I mean, I think that's the same with any sort of issue, you know, like with addiction, alcoholics. They're not going to begin to heal themselves until they want to heal themselves. It's the same thing with energetic diseases, and I guess disease is a good word, imbalances. It's the same thing with energetic imbalances. If somebody doesn't want to, or they just keep pulling from you, well, then you're not going to be able to help them. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, it's in a way it's hard enough to function in, you know, this world we have right now, you know, on a day-to-day basis without being around people who are, you know, in that state that they don't want to get out of it, or they can't for whatever reason. And all it does is just it drains you and brings you, almost sucks you right in with them. And that is definitely not a good thing. I wanted to say hello to, we've got Aloha Jay from Canada. Welcome. And Susan is here from L.A. She's in California now from England, but she's very emotional. And she thinks letting all of Great Britain go is being very hard on her. And she's listening very, very intently here. And let's see, we've got someone else here, Cynthia. She says, it may not only feel like the end of the world, it may be the end of your world as you know it. Let it evolve as it is passing through you. And, you know, that's so true. I mean, you know, over the years, you know, I've had certain things happen that just you feel like it's the end of the world. But, I mean, we all heal, and we all eventually can move forward. But it's allowing whatever, you know, is happening in your life, whatever that end of the world circumstance is, to you know, acknowledging it, feeling it, but allowing it to just go. I mean, feel all the feelings you need to feel. If you're angry, feel that. If you're sad, feel that. Cry. Do all the things that you need to do to release that energy within you. And, you know, those energies can come at any moment. I mean, anything can trigger it. And just go ahead. I mean, even if you're in public, it doesn't matter. Allow those energies to be released and allow them to move through you. And I did want to read a little bit because I think this is important. And this is just in this Dark Night of the Soul thoughts and insights. They talk about the dark night usually develops this way. And it goes, you as a genuine seeker have gone through many significant phases as you progress towards higher consciousness. Your faith is strong. You have kept loyal companionship with fellow seekers, and perhaps you have already found a special teacher. You've experienced indications of the reality of higher consciousness and yearn to be more deeply in communion with it. You see the principles of a higher power at work in your life. Yet, all in all, you find yourself somehow painfully on the outside. You feel caught between your old way of living, your old tendencies and associations, in this nebulous, unreachable realm of higher consciousness. You feel an exile in both places. You don't belong in the old pastimes, in the old empty or numbing way of life, yet you somehow can't fit in or feel at home in the fellowship of those who talk naturally of the higher consciousness and its reality. They are experienced. They are absorbed in it. They are loving, giving people. But you are unable to live with full heart and mind the way they do. They're able to apply the principles of higher consciousness easily, yet it's so hard for you. They have manifestations and proofs on a regular basis. You only stretch like a human mule after a receding corn cob while pulling the heavy weight of your old tendencies behind you. You try to be good, and often you can. You try to be loving and find at times your heart is hard like stone. Sometimes you're all down around your ears, struggling. Life for a month or two, perhaps longer. Where did that earthly joy and zest go? Up to this particular time, there was joy, there was delight, but now there was only a hanging on, a dogged hanging on. You persist because you can't conceive of going back to your old way of life. That seems impossible now. That would be like going to prison, living as if with a transorbital lobotomy. You deeply want to have joy and fulfillment, easily manifest prosperity, but something's not working. You don't know what it is, but something's awry, and your meditations have lost their luster. So it goes on, and it's quite a good read, and it just, you know, it's really hard to, and I can't put myself really in this dark time of the soul, because I don't believe I've ever really truly been in that state. You know, I've had some tremendous things happen to me in my life. But I think the ones that really can understand it are the ones that are really heavily into it now. But I know how easily it is to start bringing yourself down. And I know how, you know, one circumstance or some little thing can trigger, and I'll use that word trigger, this change in you, which will bring about this perceived emptiness or this perceived changes around you where there really are not any changes around you. It's just how you're looking at things right at the moment, because you haven't healed that little bit that you thought you had let go of so long ago. Rhonda, Sandra, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Hey, Rhonda, and I do. I want to go back to what you said about over the course of your life, sometimes people say something to you and you really take that to heart. And when you do that, especially if it's something like, you're not smart, or you're not pretty, or you're not good enough, you know, then you really set up like a false belief system, because that's not true, but because you accepted it, you wrap this whole belief system around it. And sometimes those things take longer to really let go of, and that would be a good example of something that you thought you had let go of it, but it keeps coming up again, because there's different layers to it. And it all depends on that kind of faulty belief system that you brought into it. And when you do that, then you can also experience physical illness or sickness or pain related to that. And I don't think a lot of people realize that sometimes that comes with it. And that's what I'll pass the stick.
One thing is, too, that she's talking about is that our childhood really can bring hard memories, and I have a speech defect, so I have an accent. People think it's Southern. It's not. It's an accent. It's a speech defect with me. And one thing is, you hear it so often, you begin to believe it. So now I think it's a time that we have to all stop and really look at ourselves, give it acknowledgement, send it over to the light, let the light clean it, because the light cleans everything, and let it go. Your turn.
Yeah, no, I truly like that, you know, letting it, giving it to the light and letting it cleanse itself. And, Sandra, yeah, you know, my mother was verbally abusive and, you know, from a very young age, and I really shut down around the age of 3. And, you know, occasionally, and this, you know, what happened recently is something she had said to me years ago came back to haunt me again. And it was just something so, you know, it is something that affected me, obviously, and it's something that I thought I had released, but obviously I hadn't, so it affected one other area in my life, and it's affecting things right now. So there's so much to it. I wanted to see if there's anybody. It looks like Running Elk is saying, Grandfather here says, when some go through dark times, they get very angry and will strike. Okay? Okay, I can understand that. They will strike out. They will strike out. If this is so, I give love and support, but block the anger. Teach how to send it to Mother below. Okay, that's powerful, and because there are people that can lash out in a heartbeat, and we all know that, you know, it's not if they lash out at you, it's not about you. And sometimes it took a long time for me to learn that one, and to let that one go, but. To be able to just love and support and block that anger. Now, put up a shield. Put up a shield against that. Do whatever you need to do to keep that energy from being absorbed by you. And then send that energy to the earth, to the mother below. And then Jonathan says, the energy to our country has been very dark. How is this about dark times? I think it's really hard for everyone at this time because everything is so totally out of control and messed up in so many ways. And with this energy all around us, we're all needing to, especially if we're really spiritually connected to the earth, spend even more time than we would normally in nature, being outside, connecting with what's real, and staying away from a lot of what's going on as best you can. I know in this world we live in, we need to work, we need to earn money to be able to survive, to live, and this is just the way things are right now, but we all need to take the time needed to center ourselves, to connect with the earth, and just be with the Earth Mother and allow that energy of her to come into our lives.
I have something I want to add. May I? This is Sandra.
Yes, definitely.
One thing is, I find that the little things you think you should not worry about, but usually if you cut your finger and you don't take care of it, it presses and becomes a big sore. The little things are important. Don't ever think that something that is bothering you will not get infected. You must take care of it. You must acknowledge it. And just take care of it and heal that point. I don't care how small it is. People got to realize it's important that all of it is healed. Thank you. Rhonda?
Yeah, I agree with that. Doesn't matter whether it's a little tiny thing that seems inconsequential at the moment or not. If it's coming up into your awareness and it's bothering you, deal with it. Look at it. Release it. Do whatever you need to do.
No, you're both. That's so true because, and that blocks us from other energies, the positive energies, spirit guidance coming through when we're harboring things that are upsetting us and we're not working, we're not dealing with those things. It just it blocks that energy from flowing. So, it blocks creativity. It blocks your guidance, and it's definitely not healthy, not in any way. I thought I'd read just there's a lot of reading here, but I wanted to read from Jamie Sam's Earth Medicine, and she has a healing prayer. that I thought was really, really nice. She goes, Mother, teach me how to heal the feelings inside of me. Teach me how to respect all life with foregoing humility. Show me the path away from abuse, where everything sings of life, where heartache is just a memory of ancient human strife. Let my spirit be healed until dying holds no fear, where rebirth is welcomed, bringing me joyous tears. These are the things that I desire, for I want to truly know the pathways and healing passage through the dark night of the soul. So I wanted to read a little bit more from the chat box here. And this is from Cynthia. I have found that letting go of a persistent issue requires more of my focus. Lighting a 1 or 2 hour candle and staying focused on it as it burns down, allowing my thoughts only of the issue and how it affects me and how I want to send it to the light. And then she goes on to say, how do you teach others to let go? I have not heard of that before, and that sounds really really powerful. Because you're focusing on the issue, because it's so easy for us to get sidetracked and not try to heal. I mean, we may want to, but there may be other things that might come around that will stop us from doing what we really need to do. And how do we teach others to let go? When something comes into your awareness, and it's usually a nagging issue, that's the first indication that you need to work with it. And from what I've heard from other teachers and other workshops and things throughout my travels, you need to really get to the core of the issue. And getting to the core, you may need to really meditate on it. Where did it all start? Where did it come from? And, you know, unfortunately, many of us who are very spiritual and have walked many lives before, some of these things that come back to us could be from a past life. There are people who can actually help you, guide you through a journey process, going back to, you know, different parts of your life, and helping to guide you and helping you to release that energy from those parts of your life. But you really need to be careful who you find to guide you. And once again, I know we've talked about that. There are truly people, you know, and I'm sure that Running Elks Group can attest to this, that there are people, you know, shamans who can heal and can help others, but they do not outwardly advertise. So it's more or less finding someone that you know and that you can trust and that is a good guide to help you work through and walk through what you need to walk through to be able to heal any issues. And that's okay with you, Mr. Gray Wolf? Are you available to say anything in that area?
Actually, traditionally, yes. These are the kinds of areas that the real shamans worked on. And we've talked about that before and what shamans actually are. we're talking about really traditional shamans, not the way the word's been bandied about recently. Yeah, they're the ones that work on the deepest and the darkest things. Right now, there's so many people experiencing this, and it was whoever made that comment. I think it was Jonathan. Yeah, I mean it's not only individual, but it's culturally, by country, by clan, by group. It's even global right now, and a lot of that's what we're seeing out there. A lot of people are feeling like totally dark, like there's nothing left, everything's changing. And so they are acting out. It's not a huge surprise. This is part of the prophecies for this time as we go into a new earth. And the fact that things would have to burn down to ashes doesn't make it any easier, but it does make it at least a little bit understandable, because there are collective pains, ancestral pains, things, again, that we may think as cultures we've worked on and done away with, but we have not. And you have now people playing into those pains. Here in this country, we've got people like Donald Trump, Cruz, others who are actually using those deep ancestral pains to promote themselves. They're digging into that anger. And other people around the world. I mean, we're seeing it play out all around us. What we can best work on is to focus on ourself and work to let our own dark time pass. And as long as enough of us are doing that, then once again we'll have that critical mass of folks now who are not only on their spiritual road and have an understanding of what they need to do, but who have kind of cleaned their own clock and are ready to move ahead. Not easy, certainly not pain-free, but really, really important. And the best way is just to stay with it. Don't try to push it. Everyone I know, including myself when I was there, who tried to get it to go through, who worked at it so hard, that didn't help at all. It's the old surrender, trust, belief. It's all those concepts that we spiritual folks have been saying for years and years and years. And so now we have to believe our own words. And that's what I'm kind of thinking.
Sandra, Rhonda?
This is Rhonda. I would like to add something to that I feel really strongly about. Just what you were talking about, there are very knowledgeable and reputable people that can help you, can guide you, but every person absolutely has to do their own work, because if you're not willing to put the time and the work into it, it's still going to be there, no matter what you do. And I really think that's important for people to know. Nobody can do it for you. And I'll pass the stick.
And for me to add in, this is Sandra, I have a little saying I say to myself while I've been going through some stuff. It's called SLL. Stop it, look, listen. Pay attention to what's going on in your eyes. And it's called stop, look, and listen. And I'm really strong. I have to tell myself that many times. You're sick.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. I like that. Stop, look, and listen. So, folks, when
I think that's what they told us when we used to be, when we were learning how to drive.
Yes. All right, Derek, Grey Wolf.
I'm seeing on the board here as they're talking, and it ties right into all this, I think, that Cynthia has some really good comments here today, I think. But Cynthia says, how do you teach others to let go? And, boy, that is really a hard question. You can't force them. All you can do is, like the ladies were just saying, guide people, try to show them ways. And for me, the biggest way is nature, nature, nature. That's the number one healer. That's the best way to learn how to let go, is to get out there in nature and just let things go. We talked one of our circles recently about learning how to sit and just shut your brain down, trying to do it for 20 minutes, and at first being happy if you can do it for 2 or 3 minutes. These are all ways to learn how to let go. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Now, as everyone was speaking, you know, I've got a grandmother tree here next to the river. We live on the Poudre River. And I've been communing with her every morning. And for over the past week, there have been days where I've just sat and just asked her to be with me and just sit quietly. More or less a meditation, so I can just listen to the river and just let my mind go. And then there were other days when I would be, praying my heart out. And that's one thing I love about nature. I mean, they're so willing and able, and they just they want us to connect with them. The trees are just amazing. They are so powerful, and I can lean up against her, and I can put my arms out on her roots, as they go into the earth, and I just feel this beautiful, beautiful healing energy passing through me and just connect me to everything around. And it is so healing and so refreshing. So many of you just who need to work through whatever it is you're working through, if you're really, really having a hard time, get out there. If you're along the ocean, go to the ocean. There's nothing more cleansing than that salt air and the waves and the sand, being able to walk in the sand and help you to release those energies. Allow yourself just to be connected to everything. Feel everything. Feel that sun on your cheek. The warmth. Feel that cool breeze cooling that warm cheek on your face. Listen to the trees and the leaves. Listen to the birds, the wildlife around you. And just allow nature to guide you and help you to heal, to connect. And when you find yourself with a thought that, as Sandra said, stop, look, and listen. I love that. I love it. That'll be easy to remember. Stop, look, and listen. And just ponder where did that come from? Where did that thought or that interference in your life come from? And if you know where it came from, like I know where mine did from my mother,
where did the saying come from, you mean? The stop, look, and listen?
I'm sorry, what?
What did you mean? Where did the saying come from?
Share that with us. Where did that come from?
Driving? No, Jim. But anyway, it makes laughter when I laugh at him. I mean, with him. But I was trying to work through things with Leon, and I said, Sandra, why don't you stop? Just stop right now. And why don't you just look? Look what he's done for you. And why don't you listen to yourself and nobody else and get through this? And I did that. So that's where it came from, and I say it to myself all the time now. So it really, I don't know where I got it from. It helped me, and I hope it helps somebody else.
Wow. No, that's perfect. It's really perfect. looks like Jim, I know he's on the chat box. Nature, nature, nature. The three main ways to let go. Nature, nature, nature.
Oh.
Oh.
Good one. I mean, we had our Anithi last night, and one of the last little prayers I had before we exited was, and then it just came, "Don't worry, be happy." So I mean, we had so much fun with that, and it's so true. It's we can take on so much, and it can just wear on us so badly. I mean, it does everything. It affects our body, our mind, our spirit, everything. And being able to let go for a bit and listen to Bob Marley, "Don't worry, be happy." I mean, how can it not bring a smile to your face? What do you think, girls?
Oh, yes. Sue, I have one thing that I want to say before we run out of time.
Okay.
Nature, yes, I agree. And Jim saying nature, that's the best way to heal. Winter's coming up for a lot of people, and we've already had people ask us, how do you connect to nature when you can't really get outside anymore? Or for somebody that can't get outside readily anyway. And so I think that's important to look at some of those ways. You know, you can bring nature into your house by plants, by having stones, by, there's a lot of ways, you know, even a music, a CD that's got nature sounds on it. Anybody else wants to jump on that? Because I think with winter coming, some people are going to want to know that.
A puppy dog. I like puppy dogs.
Here you go. The puppy dogs tend to get us out in nature whether we want to or not, especially when it's cold.
That's a fact.
Definitely, I know here, I'll be laying there in bed sometimes, and I'll wake up and, you know, there may be a foot of snow on the ground, and I'm hearing peepers and crickets, you know, when you come out of a deep sleep and you go, where am I? I mean, we have a lot of that, you know, here, and a lot of CDs, and, you know, sometimes Jim may have a hard time falling asleep or sleeping, and anything like that, ocean music, listening to ocean waves, but I think the best ones are the peepers and the crickets and the birds and different things like that. Definitely any kind of plants that you can have, even if you can't have pets, you know. How about a fish, you know? Just something that you can connect to within your shelter that will bring you some kind of joy and happiness and will connect you to nature.
Can I tell you something really funny, Sue?
Sure.
Yeah. One of the things, when winter comes up, one of the things that I really miss is the bird sounds, because, you know, a lot of the birds are really quiet, you know, during the winter. You just don't hear them like you do in the summer. And Dan was just writing to me, bird, bird, bird. The reason for that is because somebody just gifted me with, like, 23 parakeets. So my house is not lacking for bird sounds right now.
Oh,
that's
my
all. That was Rhonda.
that can be quite a symphony with 23 parakeets. Oh my God. I don't know. That
and
might drive
I
me
took
out.
Another dog in. I took another
yeah, that
dog
might drive
in.
Me out of the house and into the snow. I don't know. I, for one, I can still get outside, and I love the snow, and I love being out, even in that. I know, you know, Jim and I will partake and get out as often as we can, as long as there's not a raging blizzard. But even getting outside during a blizzard can be so empowering, so powerful, and so uplifting in that cold, cold air. But anyway, wow, I think we've actually reached that time. And do either you, Rhonda, or Sandra have anything you'd like to part with as far as what we've been chatting about today?
My only thing, Mrs. Sandra, is I took in another dog. It'd be 10.
Okay.
It makes me happy.
I guess with those last two things, whatever works. Yeah, you know, I've got birds, she's got dogs. Whatever works for you. So you got some kind of energy to connect to and work through your stuff.
All right, good ones. Mr. Gray Wolf there, how about you since we kind of threw you into the mix?
Not really. The last thing I put up was for those who were able, buy a coat and go outside. for those who can't, bring nature in. And, you know, some people who are ill or unable to get around, there's groups out there that help bring those people outside. I worked with them some while my wife who passed away was going through things. And it's great if you have hospice around or anything else for people who need it to help them get outside. You don't have to go far, but just to be out there and smell the air and feel it on you, and it's quite an experience. But, yeah, if you really can't, heck, throw the windows open. 35 dogs like Sandra has. Whatever it takes. Good show. I'm off.
Okay, I thought before we turn it off, I thought I'd just do a little meditation and guide us on our way, if that's okay. How about you ladies? That sound good?
That's good.
Okay. So just listen to the drum beat, the Earth Mother. Allow yourself to walk with me and allow yourself to connect with whatever is bothering you when you get to the destination and sit with that. And you can come back on your own time. We'll end the show. But I'll guide you to that point and just allow yourself to carry on and finish. And thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Running Elks Group. Everyone on chat, thank you for all your comments and just everyone who listens. And remember, you can re-listen to any of our shows through Blog Talk at any time. And thanks. Thank you, Sandra and Rhonda and the Gray Wolf there. And we'll talk to you all again soon. Love and light to everyone. You look off and there's this little area that looks like other cars have pulled off. Just a little, small little area, and you see a little trail going through some high grass and a few trees. You're curious, so you grab your water, you pull over, you grab your water bottle. Might be a little bit of a chill in the air, so make sure you have your little jacket with you. Sun is shining. There's no threat of any weather. So you find yourself on this trail and you're walking along. Open your senses. Feel everything. feel the air on your skin, on your face. Feel that breeze. It's nice and cool. As you continue walking, you come to this opening, and the trail continues. It looks like it's an animal trail. So it hasn't been heavily used by people, maybe occasionally. Off to your left, you see a forest of trees, beautiful, tall evergreens. Looks like there's a mix of other hard wood trees. Lots of colors. It's that time of year. It's fall. There's lots of reds and oranges and yellows. Absolutely beautiful. There's tall grasses also on either side. And they've all changed to their beautiful fall colors. You look ahead and there's a squirrel that just kind of scampered away. The squirrel starts yelling at you. You're invading its territory. You continue walking. Just taking your time. And off to your right, beyond those tall grasses, you can see off in the distance there's a beautiful lake. Really, really blue. And beyond that, there are some mountains that are snow-capped. So you know winter is coming. As you're walking along, the warmth from the sun is touching your face. But that cool breeze is cooling it off. Up ahead, there's this beautiful tree. You see it way off in the distance. It's huge. As you're walking along towards it, you may see some deer frolicking off to your right. A mother with her young, her yearlings, her babies from this year.